Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
SRSU announces name for La Frontera STEM Research Institute. An education research program that investigates digital innovation and future-ready STEM teaching at Sul Ross State University has been officially named, a press release stated. The La Frontera STEM Research Institute will have offices on all four SRSU campuses in Alpine, Del Rio, Eagle Pass, and Uvalde. STEM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, which compose core curriculum for students in Texas public schools. Funding from the NSF Robert Noyce Teacher Scholarship Program provides institutions of higher education with scholarships, stipends, and programmatic support to recruit and prepare STEM majors and professionals to become K-12 teachers. LFRI has received support from the Science Mill Museum located in Johnson City. They are collaborating to offer a mobile makerspace program. The Institute is seeking additional research funds to explore bridging the digital literacy gap in isolated areas along the Texas-Mexico border. According to Dr. Jennifer Miller-Ray, the LFRI team is partnering with stakeholders like schools, libraries, and municipalities to develop programming and to learn how the Institute can interact with communities to improve STEM learning experiences for rural communities and to increase the number of highly qualified STEM majors attending Sul Ross State University. Quote, we're very interested in adult learning and how to connect the digital divide that was exposed in the pandemic, end quote. Dr. Miller-Ray stated in the press release, quote, there's a lack of resources, but there's also a learning barrier. We want to explore ways to improve the digital literacy of the general public, end quote. One way to connect will be through the use of the, quote, mobile STEM lab, end quote, with delivery expected around the 1st of November. A van outfitted with hands-on learning products purchased through grant funding and the Science Mill Partnership will be used to teach adults and children about things like renewable energy, technology and agriculture, and climate change with robotics, drones, and 3D printing. Two graduate research assistant positions have also been funded, one for the Alpine campus and one for the Rio Grande College campuses. UTPB kicks off UTeach program. People who want to train to be math and science teachers will have a chance to complete their bachelor's degree and teaching certification through a program called UTeach at University of Texas Permian Basin. The first class recently began at UTPB. UTeach started about 25 years ago at University of Texas at Austin and has been replicated throughout the UT system. UTPB Assistant Professor of Math and Science David Sparks said UTPB is the 11th university to adopt the format. Quote, it's basically a two-year program. Usually it's the juniors and seniors that complete their degree and then their teacher certification in the last 2 years of their undergraduate degree. They either transfer into it or they're a student here, but generally they're a STEM major, either one of the STEM subjects or mathematics. And then we also have mid-level math and science candidates will go through the program as well. End quote, Spark said. The grant is for 5 years, and students can get through UTeach in 2 years. The first cohort starts this fall, so the first graduating class will be in 2024. Quote, our first set of students will start with their first course this fall, and then will student teach in spring of 24, end quote, Sparks said. He added that there are plenty of openings. Quote, the first course is an introductory course. It is free with tuition reimbursement for any student that's interested. Once they take that course, then there's a set of courses that they take next year, and then student teaching, end quote, Sparks said. The UTeach students will have a cooperating or mentor teacher on when they do their practice teaching. Roy Hurst, Associate Dean and Professor and Co-Principal Investigator, said the College of Education had been looking at UTeach for a while. Quote, we've had conversations with UT Austin, UTeach Institute, about it. The idea really is for them to be able to complete a STEM degree and the requirements for certification with an enhanced amount of field work and student contact and to be able to do all of that within their base credit hours for the degree, end quote, Hurst said. Quote, in other words, to have a better prepared teacher in STEM without extending their time to graduation. That was one of the major reasons the program was started at Austin, and that's been attractive, I think, to a lot of programs as well. So that's their degree plan and their certification coursework are combined under that umbrella, end quote, Hurst said. Quote, so that's a major one, and there's more interest in the community now in us doing this than perhaps there had been in the past. I think interest from university administration in having us pursue doing it as well, because we had to submit an extensive proposal on what we would plan to do, end quote, Hurst added. He explained that you can get your biology or chemistry degree and teacher certification without extending your time to graduation. Hurst added that teachers should come out better prepared to teach math and science. Students will have the opportunity to work with students in the schools from the very first course. The Permian Strategic Partnership has an interest in having strong STEM teachers in the schools. Dean of the College of Education Larry Daniel said their funding is indirectly from Permian Strategic Partnership companies. Quote, they gave the gift to UTeach in Austin, and the idea was they gave it to them with the purpose of establishing a UTeach program in the Permian Basin. We then applied through UTeach the substantial application that Dr. Hurst was talking about. We filled out the application, applied for the funds, and were awarded. The total funding from PSP was $1.9 million, end quote, Daniel said. Quote, $500,000 of that stayed with UTeach because we get a range of services from them. They have a whole network of people that work with us and help us implement and give us support, and the other $1.4 million is flowing directly to UTPB. We're getting it over a five-year period of time, so we didn't get all the money at once, end quote. Daniel said they were able to hire a STEM master teacher whose expertise is mathematics. Quote, the UTeach model basically accounts for hiring in master teachers to help teach the coursework. Those are individuals who are coming right out of public school teaching in the math and science areas. And since David's expertise is science, Roy's expertise is science, we decided we need someone with math expertise. So that was our first hire on the ground, was an outstanding educator we brought in to be our mathematics master teacher for the program. Her name is Christy Hamm. She's been with us since June, end quote, Daniel added. Sparks said she is a former math teacher and specialist at Midland ISD. Quote, the model includes bringing people in to help us prepare the teachers who are fairly fresh out of the field themselves. Roy and David and I are wonderful, but we've been away from public school teaching for a few years now, end quote, Daniel joked. Quote, certainly we're all out in the schools all the time, so we're engaging and staying current that way, but the real plus is being able to get someone immediately from the field to join our ranks to help make the instruction even a little bit more relevant, end quote. Hurst said what he's seeing so far is that these are going to be strong students. Quote, as you know, we have some strong STEM programs at the university, as it's a ripe field to get some strong candidates, end quote, Hurst said. Sparks added that they are very much in demand when they graduate. Quote, I did a small research study at my previous university, UT Arlington, and looked at the graduates from our program. The schools that hired them said that they wanted more, end quote, Sparks said. The goal is to fill all the math and science teacher openings possible in the area, although they aren't there yet, Daniel said. Quote, I think the other thing that with that is to fill them with some highly qualified, well-prepared teachers, not seat warmers, end quote, Hurst said. Sparks said their long-term outreach is to go to schools and talk to prospective teachers that are interested in the field. Those interested may go to Odessa College or Midland College first, transfer to UTPB, and start their UTeach courses. Sparks said he has talked to student groups like Future Teachers of Odessa and Texas Association of Future Educators in Midland. Quote, we're trying to get the word out to the schools that we're here, that this is an option, and that STEM, if they're interested in a STEM field, but they're also interested in teaching, then this is the place to be, end quote, Sparks said. Sparks added that there are some good scholarship opportunities and tuition reimbursement for the first course. Quote, so there's no real risk for the students, end quote, he said. It's also good news for school districts. Hurst said data shows that graduates have a much higher retention rate of staying in the classroom at the end of 5 years. He said that is significantly higher than for a teacher who is not prepared by UTeach. Hurst added that this speaks to both their preparation to teach, their confidence, and the follow-up support, which is not always there. Quote, what we're noticing, too, with the graduates is they start developing leadership skills, and of course, part of that is confidence. They are confident in their teaching, and they're noticed, and things like that, end quote, Sparks said. Death Notices. Dacia Nicole Campbell, Odessa. Dacia Nicole Campbell, 36, of Odessa, died Thursday, September 22, 2022, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 3 p.m. Saturday, October 1st, 2022 at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Larry Hood is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Johnny Lee Emberlin, Midland. Johnny Lee Emberlin, 73, of Midland, died Monday, September 26, 2022 in Midland. Funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. October 1st, 2022 at American Heritage Funeral Home. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram, Health and Wellness for Wednesday, September 28th, 2022. Study. Workout time depends on gender goal. Women burn away fat better in the mornings. Men have better results with evening exercise. There is no wrong time to exercise, but there may be some times that are more right than others. The best time of day to exercise can depend on your gender and even whether you want to burn fat or get stronger, according to a helpful new study of men, women, and exercise timing. It found that for women, morning workouts zapped abdominal fat and improved blood pressure better than late day training. For men, evening exercise led to greater fat burning and better blood pressure control. Evening exercise also amplified the benefits of strength training, but more so for women. Studies of exercise timing are part of the burgeoning science of chronobiology, which focuses on how our internal clocks affect almost every aspect of our physiology. Human bodies, like those of other mammals, plants, reptiles, and insects, operate on an innate 24-hour circadian rhythm, with a master clock system in our brains sending and receiving biochemical signals that coordinate with molecular clocks inside our cells to direct a boggling symphony of biological processes. This rhythm, in turn, responds to signals from the outside world, especially daylight and darkness, but also when we eat, sleep, and exercise. Recent studies in mice allowed large groups of rodents to run on exercise wheels at varying times of day. The studies show that the animals' heart rates, fat burning, gene expression, and body weights changed substantially, depending on when they exercise, even if the exercise itself is the same. Human studies of exercise timing have been more contradictory, though. Some show people burn extra fat and lose more weight by exercising early, especially before breakfast, while others suggest we gain greater health benefits from afternoon or evening workouts. But most of these studies were small and involved only men with metabolic conditions such as type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, or obesity. So we have known little about optimal exercise timing for healthy men, and even less about the best timing for women, which is why the new study is so meaningful. Published in May in Frontiers in Physiology, the research was designed to reflect real-world demographics, and Paul Arciero, the director of the Human Nutrition Performance and Metabolism Laboratory at Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs, New York, and the study's lead author. All of the volunteers self-identified as male or female, and more than half of the 56 participants were women. They also were all healthy and physically active, but not athletes. The researchers tested the volunteers' health, strength, and fitness, then randomly divided them into two groups, with equal numbers of men and women. One group was asked to exercise four times a week in the morning, between 6 a.m. and 8 a.m. The other group was instructed to exercise in the evening, between 6:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. Each group took part in an identical workout. Once a week, they lifted weights. The next day, they did about 35 minutes of interval training, running, swimming, or cycling as hard as possible for about a minute, resting, and repeating. Another day, they did yoga or Pilates. They ended the week with about an hour of running, cycling, or other aerobic exercise. The groups maintained this routine for 12 weeks, then returned to the lab for retesting. Everyone in the study was leaner, faster, fitter, stronger, healthier, and more flexible, whether they worked out early or late. But there were relevant differences between the groups based on what time of day they exercised. Here's what the researchers found. For women, fat burned away better in the morning. The female early exercisers dropped, on average, about 3% more total body fat than the evening exercisers, with much of the loss coming from their waistlines. The morning exercisers shed about 7% more abdominal fat than women working out in the evening. None of the volunteers' total body weight fell since they gained muscle as they lost fat. Morning exercise also lowered blood pressure in female exercises significantly better than the same workouts in the evening. Evening exercise by women, meanwhile, amplified strength gains. Overall, the evening exercisers improved their upper body strength by 7% more than the morning group. and they also powered through more sit-ups and push-ups. For men, evening exercise was the clear winner in terms of health. The evening exercisers significantly lowered their cholesterol levels, while the morning exercisers, surprisingly, slightly raised theirs. Evening exercise also fired up men's fat burning. By the end of the study, the bodies of the male evening exercisers were burning about 28% more fat during workouts than at the start, a shift that can drive body fat loss. The morning group's fat burning grew only slightly. Any time was the right time, though, for men to up their strength and fitness. Among the men, morning and evening exercisers raised their bench press, leg press, sit-up, push-up, and other strength bests by about the same extent, whether they exercised early or late. What these results mean in practical terms is that women with specific health or fitness goals may want to finesse the timing of their workouts, R.C. Arrow said. If you are a woman hoping to lose inches around the middle, consider morning workouts. If your goal is strength, evening workouts might be more effective. For men, exercising early or late seems comparable for strength and fitness, but evening exercise could have special advantages for health, Arciero said. Still, quote, it is early days yet with regard to providing individualized prescriptions for the optimal time of day to exercise, end quote, said John Hawley, the head of the Exercise and Nutrition Research Program at the Australian Catholic University in Melbourne, Australia, who has extensively studied exercise metabolism and timing but was not involved with this study. He pointed out that the new study did not control for women's menstrual cycles or track people's chronotypes, whether they naturally were morning or evening people, both of which could influence exercise responses. It also did not include midday exercise or look into why men and women reacted so differently to exercise timing. Arciero suspects hormones and other cellular and genetic effects and plans follow-up studies to learn more, he said. For now, the study's key takeaway is that timing may fine-tune what we gain from exercise, but we benefit regardless, so, quote, any time of day that you choose to exercise is the right time, end quote, Holly said. Watch for sinus infections as weather changes. Fall weather brings festivities and guests to our homes, as well as some unwelcome guests, including allergies, colds, and sinus infections. Dr. Tran Locke, ear, nose, and throat specialist at Baylor College of Medicine, explains how to identify, treat, and prevent sinus infections. The sinuses are hollow spaces in the bones of the face that connect inside the nasal cavity through small channels. A sinus infection occurs when viruses or bacteria infect your sinuses, causing the lining of the sinuses to become swollen, trapping mucus and debris and preventing drainage into the nasal cavity, Locke said. Most sinus infections are viral and often follow a viral infection like a cold. Quote, we often see sinus infections in the winter because people are more predisposed to getting colds, end quote, said Locke, assistant professor in the Bobby R. Alford Department of Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery. Quote, I also see patients who have bad allergies get sinus infections when the weather changes. With an allergy flare-up, the sinus lining can get very swollen to the point where sinuses can't drain, and there's risk for infection due to the buildup of mucus, end quote. The main symptoms of a sinus infection are nasal blockage or congestion and facial or sinus pressure. But other possible symptoms include decreased smell and discolored drainage, and less commonly, upper tooth pain, ear pressure, headaches, and in some cases, fever. Sinus infection symptoms usually last 10 days or longer. Mild symptoms lasting less than 10 days are often caused by an upper respiratory infection or common cold, rather than a sinus infection, and can be treated at home with rest, hydration, and over-the-counter decongestants. Patients with severe symptoms lasting longer than 10 days should see a doctor as antibiotics may be required to treat the infection, Locke said. If you are experiencing chronic sinusitis with symptoms lasting 12 weeks or more, Locke recommends seeing an ENT specialist.
Meet Pete Tung, music minister, Croakin' Toads bassist, by Stuart Doreen. Meet Pete Tung. He's the music minister at Fannin Terrace Baptist Church, the family of Fannin, and a bassist for the cover band Croakin' Toads. The native of Baltimore, Maryland, can balance his professional life, family life, and his status as a relatively new member of the Midland community, having been here for 3 years. A job recruiter described Midland like this. "Midland is like Nickelback," Tung said. "Everyone hates them, but no one knows why. I moved here from Houston, so yeah, it was culture shock. The hardest thing for me to get used to was how friendly people are. Growing up in Baltimore, everyone minds their own business and keeps to themselves. Here, I've been stuck in conversations at the grocery store, at the gym, at restaurants." Tung is married to Jesse, and they have two children, Vienna and Davian. When it comes to music, the talented Mr. Tung possesses a degree in classical guitar from York College of Pennsylvania. His musical influences are diverse, from Hillsong United to Elevation for worship music, to Eric Clapton to John Mayer for guitar, to Boyz II Men to Jay-Z to Lauryn Hill for non-Christian music. He considers building worship teams a passion as he seeks to provide opportunities for people to connect with God through music, prayer, and God's Word. The 42-year-old also claims to be a proficient eater and considers his favorite Midland restaurants to be, in no certain order, Heroes Meals, Noodle House, I Love Pho, Abuelos, Taco de Vino, Ray's Bistro, and Venezia's. "Like I said, I love to eat," Tung stated. "I eat above my weight class." For those interested in hearing Tung in his spiritual element, Fannin typically has a pair of services every Sunday. For those wanting something more mainstream, the Croak and Toad schedule can be found at facebook.com/ The Croak and Toads. About Pete. Welcome to Midland Moment. Flying into Midland during the day, bad idea, and seeing all the pump jacks. Not knowing what it was, I thought it looked like the movie Holes. Musical influences. Worship music, Hillsong United, Elevation, Bethel, Chris Tomlin, Shane and Shane. Secular music, Eric Clapton and John Mayer for guitar, Boyz II Men, Jay-Z, Tupac, Lauryn Hill, Michael Jackson for non-Christian music. Musical guilty pleasure, All I Do Is Win by DJ Khaled. It's my walk-up song. Question and answer. Reporter Telegram, how did you get involved in music ministry? How much of a calling was it for you? Tung, I started helping with a church youth group in Baltimore when I was 18. They needed guitar players, and I knew four chords, G, E minor, C, and D. Back then, for worship music, that was all you needed to know. Then I learned how to use a capo, a little device that allows you to play the same chord shapes but in a different key. And I became a worship rock god. Just kidding, but the music back then was pretty easy. I got involved in my college fellowship called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. The current worship leader was a graduating senior and was looking for a replacement. I started to help out, and by the following year, I was leading worship every Thursday night for our fellowship. When I graduated, I knew I wanted to lead worship full-time, but needed a job to support my wife and me. After 3 years of working odd-end jobs, finally got hired as a youth and young adult worship leader at a large church in York, Pennsylvania. That's when I went into full-time ministry. The rest is history. This was definitely a calling. I knew somewhere in my college years that this is what I wanted to do, but more importantly, it's what God gifted me to do. I just didn't know how to get there. Reporter Telegram, what brought your musical worship talents to Midland? Tung, a worship minister position opened up at Fannin Terrace Baptist Church in Midland. After a couple conversations and a couple visits, my wife and I definitely felt called to serve at the family of Fannin. Reporter Telegram, for someone not from Midland, how hard or easy was it to adjust to the community? Tung, a job recruiter described Midland like this. Midland is like Nickelback. Everyone hates them, but no one knows why. I moved here from Houston, so yeah, it was a culture shock. The hardest thing for me to get used to was how friendly people are. Growing up in Baltimore, everyone minds their own business and keeps to themselves. We're always trying to get to where we're going because we have something to do. Here, I've been stuck in conversations at the grocery store, at the gym, and at restaurants. I think the best part about Midland is the shorter commute to things in town. You can get to anywhere you need in 20 minutes. In Houston, you're not even out of the city, and you've probably only moved 2 exits on the freeway. Reporter Telegram, tell us about the Croakin' Toads and how the group came about. Tung, we're a fun cover band in the Permian Basin. We cover a lot of songs from a lot of genres. We play a variety of musical eras from the 60s to today. We play music from the Eagles, Maroon 5, Bon Jovi, Jimi Hendrix, Bruno Mars, Backstreet Boys, Metallica, and more. Trey Walker is our drummer, Zach Neves is our guitar player, and I play bass and keep the band multiracial. We started when Trey Walker, who plays drums on our worship team at church, invited me over to his house to just play some music. We had played a couple of simple gigs together. Afterward, he said, "Do you want to start a band and gig more?" I started to share an idea with him of a power trio, drums, bass, and electric guitar. I said that there's hardly anything that can't be played by a power trio. I was a decent guitar player at the time, but for this idea to work, you need a showstopper on electric guitar. I was willing to learn bass guitar and be the band roadie if he could find a world-class guitar player. That's when Trey, who's one of the best singing drummers I know, reached out to a hillbilly from Monahans named Zach Neves. He set up a rehearsal on April 15, 2021, at 6:30 p.m. at Trey's house. When we first met, we did our obligatory awkward handshakes, as if we were being invited into an Amway meeting. Once we got our equipment set up, we tried our first song, Summer of 69 by Brian Adams. I admit that I made several mistakes while playing bass, because I was blown away by Zach's guitar playing. After we played our first song, I can honestly say that the three of us knew this could work. The connection was there, and our egos were checked at the door. It's everything that you could want in a band. I also think what makes us unique is our song selection and our vocal abilities. We can all lead songs vocally, but we can all harmonize as well. I feel very blessed and humbled that such high-caliber musicians like Trey and Zach allow me to play with them. I'm not even the best bass player in the band. Reporter Telegram, what is a Croakin' Toads show like? Tung, it's just a fun time. We play regular crowd favorite songs, but we also play a lot of guilty pleasure songs from people like Maroon 5, Taylor Swift, KC and JoJo, Tina Turner, Whitney Houston, and Boys to Men. We play at various places, so the vibe of the shows depends on the venue. We've played in smaller, intimate venues like Brew Street Cafe and Flair Taverna in Odessa, to large venues like the Star-Spangled Salute in Centennial Park, and summer lawn concerts at the Museum of the Southwest. We also do private parties should anyone want to kick their party up a couple notches. You can follow us on Facebook and other social media platforms.
Monkeypox and laundromats. Dear Dr. Roach, my 20-year-old daughter will be moving soon to finish her final year of college. She will be living off campus and will need to use a public laundromat. Given that most of her clothing labels recommend, quote, cold water and low heat drying, end quote, there is concern about her contracting monkeypox from another laundromat customer. We have read about monkeypox being primarily contracted through close personal engagement with someone who is infected. However, every article also states that it can be passed through items such as sheets and clothing. Should we be worried? Answer. While I can't say it's impossible, I can say it's very unlikely to get transmission of monkeypox or other viral diseases through clothes at a laundromat. Even cold water with detergent will render viruses non-contagious. It's far more important that she be careful about her close contacts, and for her and everybody to seek prompt medical attention if they have a new and painful rash that might be monkeypox. Dr. Roach regrets that he is unable to answer individual letters, but will incorporate them in the column whenever possible. Readers may email questions to yourgoodhealth@med.cornell.edu. To Your Good Health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Read by Leah. Dear Abby, woman hid her cheating while cheating boyfriend was jailed. Dear Abby, my boyfriend and I have been involved for 5 years. He was sentenced to prison for 3.5 years. Before he left, we had a really rocky relationship. He cheated on me with multiple women, some of whom he continued on with during his prison sentence. I was pregnant when he went away, so I am now raising our child alone. Fast forward to the present. He and I are doing extremely well. I see major changes, and we truly believe we can make it work when he's released at the end of next year. My problem is, I have done some things that are eating away at me. I have had numerous relations while he has been away, all the while letting him think I am this perfect stay-at-home fiancé and mother. Although none of my affairs have been serious, I'm sure if he finds out, it would be the end of us. I'm scared and confused about what to do. I love him dearly and truly want to spend eternity with him. What should my next step be? Imperfect, 2, in Florida. Dear Imperfect, your next step should be to tell your boyfriend the truth. While you're at it, tell him you didn't reveal it before because you weren't proud of it and didn't want to worry him while he was locked up. You really have no other option because someone who knows you may let it slip, which would be worse than his hearing it from you. From your description, your baby's father is no angel, and he should not expect you to be one either. By the way, your telling him will not be the end of you. You are the mother of his child, and he is legally obligated to support that child until he or she is no longer a minor. P.S. Because you and your boyfriend have been sexually active with multiple partners, you should both be checked for STDs. Dear Abby, I would like to address this to parents who have abandoned an LGBTQ child. I have met your children through my transgender son, and I'm happy to report they are doing fine. They are the nicest, most caring people I know. Instead of being bitter and angry about your rejection, they are welcoming of everyone they meet. I marvel at their dedication to love. They have taught me by their example that unconditional love is the foundation of the LGBTQ fellowship. It reminds me of a man born in Bethlehem long ago who taught unconditional love of all people. Sadly, it seems his message has been diluted, distorted, and rewritten. If he were around today, I believe he would really like your child. So in closing, let me congratulate you for having raised a wonderful, loving child who is filled with joy and generosity. And please remember, it's never too late to learn how to love. Proud Dad of a wonderful son. Dear Proud Dad, your letter carries a strong positive message. We are all God's children. While I hope your letter will open those parents' hearts, if it doesn't do that, take comfort in the knowledge that many LGBTQ individuals who have been rejected by their parents have learned to build chosen families with people like you.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.